the America's Jobs Team podcast. For economic developers, by economic developers. Join the Consultant Connect team every Tuesday and Thursday for discussions surrounding the latest in our industry.
Learn from fellow economic development heroes, get leadership advice, keep on top of industry trends and shifts, and so much more. You are a part of America's Jobs Team.
And we're so glad that you're tuning in. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I'm Faye Davis. I am here with Carla Soans. How are you, Carla?
I am wonderful, Faye. It is so exciting to be in the new year.
It is. It is. And like we're diving back into like these leadership content episodes. And we had our podcast last week, which was all about starting the new year off right. And it's exciting to have conversation around what we want to see in this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I'm probably kind of a new year junkie because there's something fresh about a new year. But I just feel like I ride out the feeling of new year, fresh start for at least the month of January and February.
I know. Well, I still find myself saying happy new year to people, like all excited. I'm like, can I still say that?
Yes.
I mean, like, yeah, right?
100% yes, you can. In my book, at least.
All right. Well, this next three episodes, we are going to spend some time pondering some really big leadership conundrums. So you and I are going to be talking about how to make decisions when everything is a priority, whether competition and collaboration can coexist in the same relationship. But today's topic is around navigating emergent leadership with high-performing teams. Carla, you want to take it away?
Yeah. So emergent leadership. So let's just talk a little bit about like when that occurs and what that is. So a lot of times this happens when a person is not officially appointed or elected as a leader, but over the course of time steps up within group interactions, within the organization, and begins to have some informal authority just based on, you know, how they presented themselves and their influence and ability to convene, you know, the group and move things forward. So often you think about team members that are, you know, you have an organization where team members that have emergent leadership are really empowered to make decisions outside of like some traditional organizational charts and hierarchies and matrices and those types of things. It's more of, hey, like we hired you for your talent. We now trust you. You've kind of stepped into this role. You've embraced it. And now you're almost like a CEO of your own responsibilities, which is something we've talked a lot about internally here, being CEO of our own responsibilities. But that's kind of just a background of like emergent leadership.
Yeah, I love that axiom that we live by over here. And an example, as you were talking, that comes to mind is if anybody is a Grey's Anatomy person, I am. I'm just going to say this. I have stuck with that show since the beginning. And sometimes I just really want them to cancel it because at this point I'm over it. But I still watch it every single week. So there's this episode where they get the new class of interns together and the interns have a chance to kind of compete for who gets to do their first on their own surgery. And they call it, the person that wins that is called the Gunther. And so that's kind of a visualization of emergent leadership because through this competition, and we'll talk about competition and collaboration later, that's a later episode, but through this competition, it comes to light, you know, like who is stepping up? Who is going to step up to be the leader of that team? Who's naturally going to kind of come to the top because of the talents that they're exhibiting for this competition? And then another example that I think is very relevant here is as we plan one of our really, really big events, Catalyst University, we decided this year to do it Catalyst by committee, which originally was kind of intended to be like everybody pulls a little bit of their weight. And not intended at the start was that there would be one point person, but through the natural abilities of that committee, one of our coworkers really rose to the top and stepped up and led the entire, she was kind of like, she stepped into that position of being kind of the glue between every single subcommittee on that committee. So that's another really great example of emergent leadership.
You know, Faye, before we even move forward, I think let's talk about that a little bit because sometimes people feel like there is this, it has to always be a competition versus sometimes it just really naturally happens. And So you'll find that based on the organizational culture and the leadership of whatever team you're on or greater organization. You know, organizations are all, you know, they're all so different based on size, how they're structured, you know, what type of work they're performing. So you kind of have to get to know the culture of the team that you're in to see how this plays out. it almost always is playing out in an organization. It's just how. Mm-hmm. And that could vary from team to team. And it certainly varies widely from organization to organization. But I think that Catalyst University example is a really good example of we knew we needed to do something different in how we were tackling that project this year for a multitude of reasons. But we decided to just do it Catalyst by committee and kind of see who naturally had the time, the energy, the interest, and the abilities, and kind of just see how that played out. And it sounds like you set it up as a project where like management is looking at who shines out. It really wasn't that at all. Mm-hmm. It was the best way to get to the end of this project is to do it by committee.
Yep.
What naturally happened is you saw the emergent leadership, and it wasn't just in Kelsey, who was the one that became the glue between committees. You saw even within the committees, like you saw committee members that maybe weren't as involved before really take on something that allowed them to shine. And that was really a cool experience to see within the smaller subcommittees of the Catalyst committee, and to kind of see, you know, one person kind of step out and become that glue or that leader.
Yeah, that's why I like those two examples too, because in an internship cohort, it is going to be very competitive, but in a hopefully healthy workplace, it's in a much more natural and amicable sense. And that's why emergent leadership is so common on high performance teams, because it just emerges depending on who has the skills or the knowledge or even the attitude needed for whatever project you're working on. And so when you're looking at high performance teams kind of from the top down or an outsider looking in, if you don't know who the point leader is, sometimes you won't be able to tell who the point leader is, because that leadership is just sparking all over the organization between people, just depending on the situation.
Absolutely. And when you think about, you know, cultures, and from my standpoint, like why cultures should care about emergent leadership and really encourage it is for a multitude of reasons. You know, you think about like on an individual level, knowing that there's lots of opportunities for you to be a self-starter and kind of create some momentum within projects that you're a part of, and not to have to follow like a certain set of guidelines that have always been done. Mm-hmm. And again, this varies widely from organization to organization, because some work there are very rigid guidelines. And so I don't want to discredit when that happens and it's in that situation. But we've all been a part of teams where you did need to innovate, and yet you are following a system that didn't really allow you to innovate. And I think when you embrace this concept of emergent leadership, you're really allowing people to be at that table and fully invest, fully become, you know, a self-starter and say like, hey, this is a great idea. And if you're able to lift it off the ground, I highly encourage you to do it. And then let them decide like mm-hmm. what sacrifice they're willing to put in. You're not saying you have to. You're saying it's a cool idea. And if you are excited about it and you can fit it into your workday and it makes meaningful sense for the organization and budget, then let's try it and mm-hmm. see what happens. And it allows people to shine in ways that you'll have never seen before. I think on the team level too, it provides this sense of team and power and energy that is almost indescribable. And we were just talking about it earlier today, and this is another Catalyst reference, and I apologize for that. But we were talking about, we have, in addition to Catalyst University happening, we have another pretty significant project that's happening at the same time this year, which kind of is pulling on the team in a way that we didn't anticipate. But the beautiful thing is, because we've had so many people involved in Catalyst University this year, and because we've built up this kind of spirit of, you know, see something, do something amongst our team, it's just kind of embedded into the culture. Having a few people go do another project on the day of Catalyst is like not a big deal. We have so many more skills built mm-hmm. and people who really understand the project and embrace the culture of what we're trying to create at that event, that having several team members not be at Catalyst, it's not even a big deal, because we've built that muscle. And I think when you embrace as a culture emergent leadership, you build more muscle
yep.
among your team, which for us as a smaller team, Southwest Michigan First being like somewhere around 20 to 25, when you think about Consultant Connect, you're looking at like 4 to 5, you have to have that muscle and that flex and that, and people who are willing to like rise up in those situations and take ownership for things. And yep. so it's worked out great.
Yeah. Totally. Another one is when you're thinking about that team level, is that it's fueled by consensus and not decree. So it's not someone who just comes in and says, you know, I'm your leader. But you as a team have had, you've either had an informal say in the process where just this, again, this leader just comes up and shines, and you are bought into that, because once you have kind of affirmed that person's status as like taking the reins in that project, you have a stake in what the results are, what the outcome is. So that's another way that that emergent leadership is really, it fuels that team level.
Yeah, and it truly does, like over time, when you hear a lot of people talk about flat organizations, and when you're a culture that really embraces emergent leadership, you do tend to not rely as heavily on hierarchy or matrices, you know, to make decisions. And so when people talk about flat organizations, even when there are reporting structures, there's this sense of, you know, who's making decisions within that reporting structure. And it tends to just work different, you know, company by company, but it kind of makes it feel like it's a little bit more of a flat organization where each employee or team member can kind of fully engage within the teams that they're in.
Yeah, there are some really good examples out there of bigger companies that are buying into this more emergent leadership strategy. One of those is Zappos. There's the VSCO photo editing app. Even Google, I believe it was their chief of staff or their chief human resources officer that had said something along the lines of, you know, tech companies want this emergent leadership quality in people. They want not only people to step up and lead, but they want people to buy into that their peers can lead them throughout projects and throughout like seasons and things like that. But one of the big things is this can cause tension. So when we're looking at emergent leadership within organizations that might be more highly matrixed or hierarchical, especially if we're thinking about governmental operations, let's talk a little bit about how this can sometimes cause tension.
Yeah, you know, no matter what organizational structure, I think there always can be tension points. Organizational culture and structure is just complex. And so before we even dive in, I just truly feel like we need to say like one size and one culture does not fit all.
Absolutely.
And so as a society, I feel like we keep talking about high performing cultures, and it's easy to look at certain companies that have had success and therefore have high performing cultures. But another company down the road may have the same success and also have a very high performing culture, and they look very different. Yep. And so it's up to us as leaders to find a culture fit that works with us. We can't expect that the organization always changes to fit us. We need to be fully aware of, am I a fit in this type of organization too? And so that spirit of emergent leadership is really one that your leadership, your management has to embrace. And if they don't, it's going to be more difficult. Even though it will happen in pockets, it will be more difficult for it to truly kind of be something that maybe is like an entire organization operates this way.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the tensions and the reasons why you have those tensions are people just inherently operate so different. So assuming that the best leaders, you know, when you think about emergent leadership, you're kind of like saying, hey, we want your skills and your strengths to just naturally rise. And we're going to throw lots of different opportunities and ways for you to engage those strengths. And then we're just going to see who kind of like rises into these opportunities and is successful. Well, that works for people who are really hardwired to take risks. It works sometimes for people who are more extroverted than introverted, and a variety of different, you know, characteristics of people. So you naturally are going to see a same type of person usually start to rise if you're not intentional about it. And that's why I feel like it's so, so important for leadership to kind of understand the concept and know, gosh, like I want to encourage more of that, but I need to be intentional about it for, you know, across the board, because mm-hmm. sometimes you have to push people outside of their own comfort zone to then see them rise.
Yeah.
They won't naturally do it on their own, and you have to kind of make them uncomfortable. But then they rise and they're grateful for it. So it becomes kind of like a little bit of a management technique. And certainly when you think about, and you alluded to this, Faye, but managers and supervisors that are in more hierarchical, governmental sometimes is a good example, or just systems that have a lot more structure and process, it's a lot harder for leadership in those types of organizations to kind of let that flow and that spark naturally happen because of some of those systems. You are more accountable for what happens underneath you. You then are going to be much more aware of every single decision and want to be a part of every decision. You want to know you made it because your head could be on the chopping block if it doesn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's so important that it becomes kind of a team approach or an organization approach to how you're managing the workflow. You know, lastly, there is the conundrum. Like, I mean, this doesn't work for everybody and it has great qualities. There's a lot of research that backs that this is a great way to implement and to kind of manage organizations, but it can be difficult.
It's that push-pull.
It can be difficult. It is messier.
Yep.
It is just messier. There's no, because you don't have one person accountable or one person making decisions, sometimes things take a little bit longer and sometimes it's just a little bit more complicated. But I firmly believe that it sparks a lot more creativity. So depending on the type of work that you're doing and the type of goals that you have, I feel like it's worth consideration for some teams that maybe need to lean more on, like, gosh, like we need to be more creative. We need to be more innovative. You might find that kind of playing around with, like, how do we create even some teams within our team that are a little bit more of just to spark ideas and kind of see where that naturally goes with those leaders could be something that's really interesting.
I love that. Carla, any parting words for our listening audience as we finish up this conundrum?
You know, I'm just really excited. I think this series certainly is really powerful. I think these leadership conundrums are real and every leader out there is facing them or people that you're working closely with are. So I feel like they're really relevant. We're just looking forward to the year coming up. We have a lot of great programs on the horizon. We have been doing a lot of reading over the holidays and are just really excited to be able to share insights that we hope spark. And we know not every podcast will, but we hope that as you're listening along to the podcast, you're getting something, if not each time, a couple of times a month,
That
really sparks and you think like, gosh, like that made me want to read more or that made me want to do something different, because we want this to be a place that helps you to kind of sharpen your leadership saw so that economic developers and community leaders can really become the best leaders of their own potential,
yep.
Which I think is really exciting.
It is really exciting. And like you said, you know, not every episode will resonate with every single person, but if you're taking the time to listen to this and to even garner one iota of an idea, then, you know, this is worth it for us.
So. Absolutely. 100%. So next week, we'll talk more about making decisions when everything is a priority.
I can't wait. All right, everyone, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for sticking with us till the very end. This podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment, Lead Generation for Economic Development, and Gazelle AI. Spend more time closing, less time chasing. Did you like what you heard today? Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The America's Jobs Team podcast is audio engineered by Andrea Fuller and produced by Faye Davis.